welcome everyone from my side. We will have to see that we have a peaceful atmosphere today here because of children who need care. You will have an eye on them. I want to just say something in English first for my English viewing audience and then address you in German. I will speak give this class in the sweet English language as much as I can. It is a very important subject which we will deal with today, about empowerment. That means getting an energy which was not there with us before, which will move us in our life forward, but which will also enable us to do things which we could not even imagine to do. It's about the empowerment of Lord Nityananda. This will, again I must say, it will be held in English, because I will not let you switch off. Ich muss ganz kurz was für die Deutschsprachigen sagen. Wie ihr vielleicht gehört habt, aber vielleicht auch nicht gehört habt, ist diese Vorlesungsreihe in englischer Sprache angedacht. Es tut mir also leid, wenn ich einige von euch sprachlich überfordere. Das hat sich daraus ergeben, dass wir so viele Zuhörer haben, die immer wieder sagen, wir würden so gerne eine Vorlesung von Satchinandan Swami hören, der in der Vergangenheit so oft in englischer Sprache gesprochen hat, weil er einfach im Ausland, also von Deutschland aus gesehen, nicht in Deutschland war. Aber weil ich jetzt sehr viel schreibe und aus anderen Gründen auch hier in Deutschland bin, treffen mich diese vielen, vielen Leute nicht mehr. Und so habe ich mich dann entschlossen, diese Vorlesungsreihe in englischer Sprache zu geben. Und es wird online übertragen auf dem Computer, Mayapur TV-Netzwerk. Es ist jedoch so, dass wir morgen eine Veranstaltung haben, die ist allerdings restlos übergebucht, aber man kann ja immer von außen die Mauern hochklettern und durch die Fenster hindurch hören, wenn ihr, also das ist für Leute, die sich angemeldet haben, vielleicht habt ihr noch die Möglichkeit, euch zu registrieren, weil Leute zurückgetreten sind, aber das wird in deutscher Sprache sein und wird auch auf Internet zugänglich sein. Gut, für die, ich sehe hier ist Nandi und seine Schwester Yamuna ist bestimmt auch irgendwo. Ihr kriegt das alles mit. Als Kind hat man so eine geöffnete Intuition und auf diese Weise lernt ihr Englisch sehr schnell. Dann habt ihr es bald intus. Also muss einmal ein bisschen zuhören und dann ist das bald übersetzt sofort von der Intuition im Herzen. Good. So I would like to welcome now everyone and start. It's a great pleasure for me to give this class here. It's a subject, I must say, is very dear to me, because I have found out many, many years ago that on my own I am extremely limited, but if there is a merciful empowerment, that means if the mercy of the Lord comes to me, then I find myself saying things, doing things which are clearly beyond me, and for which I also cannot take any credit. Just yesterday I received an email, and it was about a writer. The writer, I had sent him my Gauranga meditation, and he said, "This was such beautiful writing. Did you do it?" And I said, in my answer to him, "I have to be very truthful with you. I didn't do it, and I did it." I didn't do it because it was not on my own that I could write such a nice thing. I read in our books, I read in the scriptures, and I prayed, and then there was an internal gestation, I suppose. Gestation in Deutsch heißt ein innerer Reifeprozess, wie beim Embryo, der reift heran. So there was an inner gestation taking place, and then it came out of my hands. So in a way, I cannot say I wrote it, because it was given to me by first reading in the scriptures, and then by thinking about it, and by letting it mature and gestate inside. But yes, I took my pen and I wrote down whatever I thought should be written down. And then this writer, a very good writer, wrote back to me and said, this is the creative process. When there is a creative process taking place in us, we give our best, but then all of a sudden, while we are trying and trying and trying, something which is clearly from beyond us comes into us and then moves us. And when I heard this, I was thinking of one of my disciples who is a graphic designer and who is often in the creative process. Often for 2 days she just tries and tries and nothing comes, and after the second day she is already crawling up the walls because she has to meet deadlines. And then mysteriously, maybe at 1:30 in the morning, when every good devotee should sleep, the inspiration all of a sudden comes, and she can finish her job quite quickly, and to her and the customers' full satisfaction. What was it that came into her and all of a sudden empowered her? Well, it can be different things. It can be something which comes from the subconscious mind, for instance. But today I will not speak about this type of inspiration, which is still coming from a man source. I want to speak about divine inspiration and divine empowerment. And I welcome you to this class, and I do hope that you will, that I will be able to express the principles nicely, which you can then think about and reflect about in your life, and hopefully have something like divine inspiration. So let us tune in by singing the Jaya Radha Madhava.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihara. Shri Varanam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'm
Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Imate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sadasvate Deve Gaurabhani Racharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Hasvashyadade Krishna Karuna Sindhu Tiranandu Jagadpade Govinda Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Apta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Vrishabha
of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence here on this earth. He stopped all his travels and state in Jagannath Puri to relish his ecstatic emotions. We can understand Mahaprabhu best in his own words. He said, the emotions of Krishna consciousness or the bhava is like a huge ocean which has waves which come clashing to the shore one after the other. And in this way he compared his heart with this huge ocean which would have these bhakti bhavas, these very intense divine devotional feelings, and which would sometimes take him this way or that way. It was clear in this mood he could not give public lectures or continue his travels. Activities, in other words, which require some planning or some systematic execution, at least. So one day he called for a secret meeting in one of the beautiful gardens of Jagannath Puri, where he received Lord Nityananda, his second self, if you so want. And he said to him in a very, very moving way, "Listen, magnanimous Nityananda, I gave a promise. My promise was that I would drown the entire world in the sweet ocean of love for Krishna. But I'm unable to do this now, personally. I want to do it through you. Therefore, I request you, go immediately, go from this place. If you remain with me here in Puri as an ascetic monk, keeping a vow of silence to yourself, who will deliver the fallen souls? You are the bestower of love of devotion. Please tell me, if you must always check yourself, what is the use of your incarnation?" So in other words, he tells Lord Nityananda, "There's something in you, and I will increase this by empowering you and moving you just like a puppeteer who moves a puppet on a string. And I will work through you, and therefore I request you, go from this place and go to the land of Bengal." This is a theme which repeats itself in transcendental literature. It's a theme where an individual is called forward, is given a divine order, and with this order, Shakti, on energy, which will move through him and will make the impossible possible. I know there is a movie which I'm sure one of our specialists here in the castle has seen, Mission Impossible. Every one of you can do a Mission Impossible if you are empowered by the Agatana Gatana Shakti. That means an energy which makes the Agatana, that is which where you cannot go, the impossible, Gatana, or you can go there and make it possible. So Chaitanya, so Lord Nityananda was empowered by this divine order of Lord Chaitanya, He informed his associates who were living here and there, spread over Puri, "Our Puri time is over now. Let us move. Let us go. Let us follow the divine command of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and drown the world in waves of love of God." Wouldn't it be nice if someone here, or maybe two from you, or we have so much wonderful listeners on the internet, wouldn't it be nice if one day, a perfectly ordinary day in your life, you are called forward and you obtain divine order, and with that order the potency or power to execute it. Wouldn't that be nice? I come from a time that this was happening regularly. I come from an old time where the young, where the world was younger, where often I saw people who were close to me, who were called forward by my exalted spiritual master, who were given an order to which they said, "Mission impossible. It is not possible for me to do this." And still, on the request and of their spiritual master, they took this order in good faith, they acted on it, and they were very much successful in this. I remember a scholar, Professor Thomas Hopkins. He described his first visit to one of the early temples of the Krishna consciousness movement in America. And he said, I went there and I saw a guy, American English, standing in the printing press. And I asked him, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm printing a book." I asked him, "Are you a professional printer?" And he said, "No, I have no connection to printing. I have even little connection to books. I'm not a reader normally. But my spiritual master told me print books, and now I'm printing books, and somehow it moves. It works. How it works, don't ask me for the detail. Something works through me." I mean, he must have had some connection to a printing press, but it was not really so entirely, let me say, mystical. But there was about 70% mysticism working here. That is a divine energy which empowered him to do things which he could not have imagined to do before. So this is now, just to try to tune you in, what is where we are here. So Lord Nityananda, I will continue, who's completely devoted to Lord Chaitanya, went with his associates to Bengal, and they arrived after a lot of traveling in the house of Raghava Pandit at Panihati. It is here where they stayed for 3 months, and it is from this place that we hear amazing accounts of their empowered activities. Lord Nityananda had taken a party of devotees with him from Puri who knew the instruments and who knew to sing. And for 3 months, all they did in Panihati was to start their kirtans as it was becoming a little bit lighter, 5 o'clock or so. It was, the heat was not so heavy, and they chanted and danced throughout the whole night. It is described that anyone who saw Lord Nityananda at that time dancing was overwhelmed by the amount of love which was flowing in his heart. And there is a description of this which I want to read to you. When Lord Nityananda chanted the name of Hari, he shouted very loudly. Sometimes he would glance at someone while dancing. That person upon whom Lord Nityananda looked became filled with love of God, which was so strong that he fell to the ground. You know, when these very powerful emotions of love of God come to the material body, the body is not equipped to deal with it. It's almost as if you take a powerful engine which you use, let us say, to propel a jet forward, and you screw it on a bicycle and then go and the machine starts. Your bicycle, which only can maybe go 20 kilometers an hour, or if you are fast like me, 60 kilometers an hour, but who's not meant for 900 kilometers an hour. I think, Prima Marie, also you are fast bicycle person, but 900 kilometers an hour is beyond you. But imagine you put a machine which has this capacity on your little bicycle and then try to drive your bicycle with that power, your bicycle will collapse after some time. So in the same way, when the strong emotions of love of God had come upon someone, he is showing symptoms of ecstasy which for a long time psychology could not deal with. They would say this is schizophrenia or it's some mental illness, but it was something else. It was the empowerment with divine energy which was so strong that the body and the mind were just overly challenged. They couldn't deal with it and then collapsed it. Only I think since the last 15 years or so, I'm following these works in psychology very, very interestedly. Psychology has made a place for ecstasy and has, in its considerations, and has appreciated it as a genuine and very extraordinary feeling, which is not at all to be compared with schizophrenia or mental illness or so on. So Lord Nityananda would dance and he would empower someone by glancing at them. It is described that when Lord Nityananda chanted and danced like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drawn and appeared in his kirtans. And on one night, all the devotees could feel this. There was this ecstatic dancing and chanting of Nityananda, and all of a sudden, the devotees smelled the fragrance of Damanaka flowers. Damanaka flowers are flowers which grow only in Puri and not in Bengal. But they could smell this very strong fragrance, and those who had been in Puri recognized the fragrance. It was Damanaka. So they wondered, from where is this fragrance coming, and from where is this very strong fragrance coming? And do you know what had happened? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had moved from Puri, this is a long, long way, many, many kilometers, and stayed in the kirtan of Lord Nityananda. And he liked to wear a garland of the Havanaka flowers. He brought his garland with him. It smelled much stronger than this one, although this is also already quite good, so on. Lord Nityananda explained the secret to everyone. Listen to the mystery, for you must know the truth in detail. Today Chaitanya Goswami came here from Nilachal to hear our kirtan. He wore a garland of Dhammanaka flowers and sat in a tree, unseen. All the four directions filled with the aroma of that wonderful garland. Now give up your affairs in the material world. Have faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. May you all glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fully submerge in the ocean of Krishna Prema. So Lord Nityananda then sat down on a golden throne and encouraged all his associates to chant and dance. And in this divine atmosphere, they did start their chanting and dancing in a very, very special way. Some of you are like my children audiences. They talk and look during the class, and that is reminding me of the class before in some ways. So, but listen to this. This is very wonderful. Give your attention to this. Oh, German devotees who are without ecstasy, you will now learn a little bit what is ecstasy. I have to, my dear devotees in the internet, I have to catch the German devotees. They are a little like children, so you have to chastise them and then they will all listen. See, I want to ask you a question. Because some of you are inattentive, and now I need to make you attentive. How do you think will your heart ever change from your unlimited material attachments if you do not feel love in your heart, which makes your hair stand on ecstasy? I'm asking you very seriously. How will you ever change and become a true transcendentalist? I mean someone who is on that level where he is laughing without a reason because he is so happy from inside. He doesn't need an outside reason. How will you ever give up your little attachments to movies and to tasty foods and to sexual enjoyment? Huh? Yes, I'm speaking now very clearly, and everyone listens. If your voice does not break in ecstasy, without a strong input of bhakti in your heart, it will not be possible to give up the lesser attachments. Our spiritual life will be a pious theory which no one believes, not even we ourselves, if our heart is not transformed by ecstasy. And it is this divine ecstasy or love of Godhead which was given at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are trying to give lectures, bringing this time alive in our Gaura Lila Kathas, so that first of all, we will not lose hope. The moment you lose hope in your spiritual life, that in fact spiritual life is true, and you can also experience the higher states of Krishna consciousness, your spiritual life becomes mechanic and even dead. Here in the Schloss, we like to talk about psychology, the very important psychologist Viktor Frankl, who had been taken by the Nazis, and he was subjected to heavy work and sometimes torture also. He survived the Nazi camps, and he came out with a very interesting observation. He said, the moment the people who were brought into the concentration camp, and the moment these people lost hope, they died. They were found dead in the bed, because there was so much, you know, they didn't have enough good food, not enough food, no medical support system was there, nothing was done to do to have care, to care for them. My father, who had been in a similar situation, but he was captured not by the Germans, he was a German, he was captured by the Russians, and he was a prisoner of war. He always says their service was not very good. These were the situations at that time. What is important is the moment the prisoners of war lost hope, they couldn't deal with the heavy circumstances which were inflicted upon them, and they died. And I feel the same happens in our spiritual life. The moment we lose hope, and we do not think it is possible for me to join the ecstatic human beings, to become an ecstatic human being, that moment we become spiritually dead, and we look for our entertainment in the internet or somewhere else. I think you know what I mean. It is the moment we lose that hope. And therefore I request you on this Gaura Lila evenings to hear what was the time and how this ecstasy was just given freely, because I strongly believe that if someone can somehow connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings and the time of Mahaprabhu, that moment he can also experience in his life some of that divine ecstasy. So let me continue. I will not do you the favor to wake you up a second time. Please listen on your own now. You are old enough, more than 5 years or 6 years, I think. So for 3 long months, all the devotees were lost in the ecstatic trance of Krishna consciousness. They did not eat for 3 months. They didn't sleep for 3 months. They did not perform any physical maintenance. All they did was to continually dance and chant in ecstatic bliss. I don't know if you have ever tried to chant a dance for 3 days. It is heavy. you will want to have a spiritual body to do this. So these devotees got the chance to be in Lord Nityananda's personal association. They were touched by his divine energy, and their bodies were subsequently spiritualized, like iron which is put into fire and which also becomes fire now. The whole being and personality of someone who is touched by the divine energy of the Lord is transformed and spiritualized, huh? And so all these devotees did was to continually dance in ecstatic bliss. Even children who joined them, like Nandi and Yamuna, were so much joyful that they pulled out big trees without difficulties.
they need to do something with their energy. I know this is not very environment friendly, but that's what the children did. It's almost as, imagine if Nandi and Yamuna get this transcendental Shakti and they want to chant and dance, but the kirtan is no longer there, then they will run out and embrace these huge oak trees and go This was how they roared like happy lions and chanted all glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
All glories to Sri Nityananda.
All glories to Sri Nityananda. So, thank you. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu, the life and soul of everyone, captivated the hearts of even children. Wonderful. People were startled with wonder. If a person who is as big as an elephant, let us say Anandavardhan, does not eat for 3 days, he will become weak and unable to walk. But if a child eats nothing for 1 month and then acts like a lion, it is only possible because of the manifestation of Lord Nityananda's mercy and energy. Now, so one of these devotees of Lord Nityananda, who was there at that time, was the devotee Gadadhara. Gadadhara was having a little straw hut, like most of the devotees at that time, and he worshipped a deity of Bal Govinda, Krishna as a small boy, on the altar of this little hut. He lived very simply, and he heard that Lord Nityananda is nearby and came to these kirtans. And when he came to the kirtans, he also got, so to say, infused by this divine Shakti of Lord Nityananda. And he felt he should do something which would glorify Lord Chaitanya Nityananda like no other glorification was done ever before. And he thought what that could be and then had an idea. To understand really die Tragweite von dem, was tat, the impact of what he did, I need to take you a little into the history. At that time, Bengal or India was under foreign rule. There were two types of foreigners who ruled. The Moguls, these were the people who came from the northern steppes, die nördlichen Steppen, the Moguln, the people who were mobilized by Genghis Khan. And then there were others who came a little bit later. These were the Arabian people who conquered India twice because of its rich wealth, you know, in jewels, in gold, in spices, and so on and so forth. And India was for a long time under foreign rulers. And these foreign rulers had a different, brought a different value system and different religion to India. And I want to talk about the, we have to be now very careful, but there was
yeah.
It's interesting that we who are international preachers don't want to become involved in these unhappy displays of violence which are nowadays all over the world. And so there was this Qazi there who was so much feared by the Hindus that they would not even dare to look at him from the distance. They didn't want to make eye contact because he would immediately call anyone on whom his eye fell and who was from the Hindu creed forward, and he would have he had his people lash him with, whip him with whips, also Auspeitschungen, and it was a dark period. So Gadadhar decided, filled with this amazing transcendental shakti, he decided, let me go in the night to the palace of the Qazi. And he was stopped by the guards, and he said, I have an appointment with the Qazi.
What? You are a Hindu monk? You have an appointment with a ruler?
Yes, let me pass.
And he was so strong that he passed the guards, a few guards. And then he went to the door of the Qazi. He knocked and said, Qazi, get up.
The Qazi couldn't imagine, 12 o'clock in the night, who dared to disturb his sleep. So he came in, and he came out, and he sees a Gadadhar, totally ecstatic, standing there, and saying, I have something to tell you, Qazi. Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu have appeared in this world and have made everyone chant the names of God. You are the only one who has not chanted the names of Hari up till now. This is why I have come to you. I want to request you to chant the most auspicious names of Hari. They will deliver you, these names will deliver you from all sins. Now this was so, how do you say, it was much too much. It was so much too much that the Qazi was just stunned, also der erstarrte zu einer Salzsäule. No one had ever dared to speak to him like this. But influenced by Gadadhar's transcendental potency, he smiled and he said, listen, Gadadhar, tomorrow I will chant the holy names of Hari. Today it is night, it is sleeping time. Please go home now. Now when Gadadhar heard that the Qazi had said, tomorrow I will chant, he became even more ecstatic. And filled with ecstatic love, he said, why tomorrow? He shouted. You have just now chanted the name of Hari. Huh? He had said, tomorrow I chant the name of Hari. You have just now started. Now no misfortune will fall on you. Saying this, Gadadhar became overwhelmed in ecstatic love of God. He clapped in his hand and he danced out of the palace of the Qazi. How can we explain it? The commentators say Lord Nityananda resided by his transcendental potency in the body of Gadadhar and made him say like this, speak like this, clap in his hands like this, and dance. Such was the extraordinary glory of Gadadhar. So
I would like to now bring this point of ecstasy in spirit to consciousness to our platform. When I hear such descriptions, I like to understand how can we touch some of the essential principles here, even in our modern time. How can also we become empowered? This is an important question for me because I'm writing at the moment a life school called the Bhakti Way or the Vedic Way. I'm not yet 100% sure which name is describing more of what I actually do. And I have seen that when I sit down, there are days where I cannot write. You know, I read what I've written before, and it is on such a level, and I cannot now write again by on my own strength on that level. Have you sometimes had this experience that you did something which was on a relatively high level, and you feel, now how will I do this now? For instance, a sport performer, you have maybe you have run this fast in the past, and now you are trying to run again, but you know, I never will do this. Or you write something, or you give a lecture, or you give seminars. We have today two wonderful guests who give seminars and who may have recorded the seminar and found out, wow, this was really good and we really could touch the people, but now I have to give a seminar in 1 hour. I'm just not up to doing this. I can't present like this. I think also when you are a teacher and sometimes you don't feel you can face the class in the university and teach, you don't feel on the level, and you know, I can't deliver on this level. So what I always do every day now, because I've written a lot, and I think it was inspired writing. I always pray prayers. I have the prayers which Shukadev Goswami prayed before he started to talk or speak about the Bhagavatam. These are prayers, beautiful prayers, and by praying them and by understanding the meaning of these ancient prayers, I feel something starts to move me, but then still I have to sometimes stare for 50 minutes before the empty piece of paper, and then all of a sudden it's there, and then I cannot stop any longer. And it's 10 o'clock and Madhusudan says, you need to go to bed. And I said, no, sorry, it's now coming. And, prayer is one way of becoming uplifted from the level on which we are at the present moment and come to a higher level and then become move. But I want to today talk about another way. It's something which Prabhupada had often said and which I feel is important for me to share with all of you. If you want to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, he wrote, you have to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you want to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to get the mercy of Nityananda. You have learned your lessons very well. Now, if you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, anyone has an idea what you have to do? Spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada's answer here is very unexpected. It is a good answer which you gave. But I could then ask, how do you get the mercy of your spiritual master? And then you get maybe the answer. I should maybe tell you, because this is something. If you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, however, you have to help the Jagais and Madais of this world. It means the fallen people who need help. See, there is a rule in spiritual life. You have to get out of the danger of self-absorption, just thinking about yourself and your little worries and your what needs to be done in your life. And you have to do something for the benefit of others. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, this is very nicely said. He said, it says, devotion of bhakti is there in the heart of a devotee. It's there within everyone of us. But it becomes available to him only when he assists another person in acquiring it. Because this is important, I will say it in Deutsch. Bhakti ist im Besitz eines jeden Geweihten. Aber diese Bhakti wird erst in dem Augenblick zugänglich, wenn der Geweihte einem anderen Menschen hilft, die Bhakti zu erlangen. And this is a very deep, deep, deep subject matter. When you are, we are all in possession of some degree of Krishna consciousness. But do we have access? Haben wir Zugang dazu? Can we feel it? Does it help us in our day-to-day life? This is a question we have to ask. It will become accessible, es wird also zugänglich werden. It will help us, it will be working in us the moment we try to help others getting bhakti. Who has experienced something of this mystery in his life? Yeah, a few of you. You very shyly raise your hand. Have you noticed when you make a sincere effort and you step over your own unwillingness to help and you do something for the benefit of others, all of a sudden something changes in you? Some people say you begin to feel good about yourself. But yeah, that is true. You could express it like this. But when you, at least when you help in Krishna consciousness, it's not just about feeling better about yourself. You seem to get the benefit of what you say. I often say, if no one ever benefits from one word of Satchinandan Swami, Satchinandan Swami would still not stop to speak, because he benefits from speaking about Krishna consciousness. This is my practical experience. It is my practical experience in life that the moment you think of doing or benefiting others, you become empowered. This is a very practical application or translation of these historic
events which for some of us sound so incomprehensible that they have to leave the room because it's so unrelatable. Man kann nicht sich darauf beziehen, das ist zu weit weg. These very, very exalted subject matter come very close to you. They come into the grip of your hand. At that moment, where you sincerely try to give bhakti to others. You will see, please, please do this. The movement for Krishna consciousness suffers like all movements who started with a lot of enthusiasm from one little disease. It's a disease which eats its way into the very nerve center of us. This is self-absorption. So much thinking about yourself. There was this one poet, in Carlos Castaneda, Anandavada. Carlos Castaneda. There Don Juan says to his disciple, I think you shouldn't talk so much to yourself. Du solltest weniger zu dir sprechen, zu dir reden. What he means is get out of your head. Where you always talk, talk, talk. No? Yes, we speak similar languages. this is very, very true. It's very true. This is a hippie book from old times. It's very true. Don't talk so much to yourself. Talk to others about Krishna consciousness and how to develop it. And you will see how bhakti comes to you. It's very, very true. Very true. Very true. I want to say something now for those of us who are new to Krishna consciousness. Something which is a little, I want to joke a little bit. Hopefully you can laugh. If it is said, if you want happiness for 1 hour, take a good rest, a nap, sleep. If you want happiness for a day, go to the forest or the beach. If you want happiness for a month, have a marriage. last month. This is what it says. If you want happiness for a long time, serve others. And I want to take this little worldly wisdom. It's something which the old grandfather in North Germany talks to his little grandson. Son, I told you, you want happiness for an hour, sleep. But if you want happiness for a long time, serve others. I want to take this Gospapa Weisheit a step further into a more exalted subject. If you want to experience bhakti, give it to others. Speak about it, repeat the scriptures, ask them to chant the holy name, and so on and so forth, and you will have this empowerment of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda's beautiful mouth always chanted Gaura Gaura, and streams of tears flowed from his eyes. He was always floating in the endless ocean of Sankirtan, dancing elegantly along with his followers. He was extremely kind to the helpless and distressed fallen souls. My dear devotees, if you want Lord Nityananda's empowerment, try to distribute bhakti to the fallen conditioned souls, and you will find a magical inspiration in your heart which will start to move you very strongly. So, yeah, I would
like to how do you say I would like to end now this little class. I want to see if there are any questions regarding the subject matter. I'm sorry that I was a little bit temperamental, but when devotees behave so much like children, I become a little bit, I think I'm in the wrong lecture, and I want to bring the lecture to the grown-ups, and then I'm a little bit forceful, but Hare Krishna. Yes.
So the question is, if you want to give Krishna consciousness to others, and how can we be sure that we really reach them, that we really inspire them? Is there something more than just to try it?
So the question is, when we want to give Krishna consciousness to others, how can we be sure that we really have inspired them? Well, there are some symptoms which are given in the scriptures which arise in a person who has been given Krishna consciousness and who now starts to practice it. These symptoms are very simple. They are he feels really happy. Misery goes. But this is how you know when there is a change in the consciousness of others.
So I think my question was the other way. I really want that they are inspired, but yeah, maybe they are not.
Maybe so they are not.
What can I do that they are really inspired? This was more my question.
Yes. There is one law of spiritual communication. That is, whatever is in your heart, that can go in the heart of the other person. When you cannot actually give Krishna consciousness if you don't have it. If you don't have a spark of inspiration. Therefore we like to hear from an realized devotee and not from a theoretical speaker, because we have that experience. If there's something here, if there is a person who has realized something, then that starts to move our heart and change our heart. And we also need to practice Krishna consciousness, and then you don't really need to be very advanced, but you need to be really enlivened and inspired. And once you are, once you have this, I always call it this divine spark of enthusiasm, you will see it will move from your heart to the heart of others. I want to give you a very practical example of kirtan leading. I'm often speaking with kirtan leaders, where everyone says, you know, who are praised in the world, and everyone says, when I was sitting in your kirtan, something came to me. And these, I'm speaking with them about this. And they, I know a few who tell me, yeah, I'm invited to fly and lead kirtan programs where there are 1,000 devotees sitting, and they all expect a magical transformation. And I sit down, I sing my melodies, but I feel not up to it, and they also don't feel anything. And at that time, I genuinely pray so that Krishna does something with this kirtan.
I have in my own ways, in my own way, also seen that. I give a lecture and everyone starts to talk with each other. Mm. The devotees are nowadays so merciless, like children, you know, with you. When they don't like it, they just leave. And so on. Difficult times, and it's just so impolite nowadays. But that's the culture in which they grow up, what I say doesn't capture anyone. It is not spiritually empowered. And then what I always do is I pray to the Lord, please. These devotees came to get something. They should not be bored. They should really come and carry something out of this lecture which will help them in their daily life. And this is the second way. If you are not inspired or not, then you just admit it and then you pray. And if Krishna wants, he empowers you. Therefore, before a devotee gives a lecture in Krishna consciousness, he always prays the Mangala Acharana prayers, which are prayers for empowerment and so on. Or if he does a kirtan, he says, I cannot do anything, I'm not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, but my Lord, if you wish, or Guru Maharaj, if you wish, and Param Guru Maharaj, and the whole parampara, you kindly empower these dead words so that they can reach some person. So either you are an inspired devotee, Kunya Bihari, an inspired devotee, you are Paramabhakta, a high devotee of the Lord, then you don't have this problem. Or if you're not, then you have to pray for mercy and so on. But I recommend also for those who want to give Krishna consciousness to others, it's very nice if you establish a regular habit of reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Then you will see how you somehow it fills you up, and then you can present things in a nice and inspiring way. This regular another thing which Prabhupada always used to say, he said, don't invent something new, just repeat what someone who is exalted has said before, and then that will work also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we also lose the empowerment?
Can we also lose the empowerment is the question. Yeah. It is said if you stop following the spiritual master, the empowerment from the spiritual master can be lost. There is, the Prabhupada has spoken about this. Because at that time you are really cutting a living relationship. It's no longer alive, and then you feel, oops, there's, my heart is empty. We can lose the empowerment. But usually the spiritual personalities are not giving up so easily on us. That's their mood. Although they are so often disappointed with their disciples. I remember Srila Prabhupada, my own spiritual master, he would sometimes cry when he was thinking about how neophyte we still acted after all this time. What would really disturb Srila Prabhupada with his disciples were when they were quarreling amongst themselves and there was no mediation. And the quarrels became bigger and bigger and so on. Prabhupada would become so discouraged by this that he sometimes would say his mission would fail because of the internal quarrels. People cannot get along with each other, and he would say that would be the cause
which if that would not stop, his mission in the West would fail. He said like this. But what I want to say is he really did not give up on us. And I this is a general principle. The great souls never give up on us. They most properly understand through what we are our struggles and so on, and they have more compassion to fallen people. I have seen that a true great soul is very difficult to disturb and to disappoint, because he understands that behind the sometimes wrong activities which we do, there is an internal struggle, a fight. I remember one god brother of Prabhupada who said, never judge a fallen devotee, because you do not know how much he cries to Krishna and begs him to help him. You don't know this, so it would be unfair to judge. This is how they look. They always see the best. It's almost like parents who don't give up on their children. I think in parentage, you consider it a weakness if you become disturbed by your child, isn't it? And if you give up with a child, you consider it after some time, I was personally not strong enough. I really have to change myself first. And this is how the great souls also think. They consider it a weakness when they cannot help someone. They consider it their own fault. So merciful. So merciful. I know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would act like this. Yeah. Yes, but to answer your question, yes, the empowerment is lost if we cut the line, so to say. It's almost like if someone would cut now, maybe Dayamayi would cut the line to this. I think she wouldn't do that, but she is a mystical lady. It's one of our children who is very mystical and has sometimes very advanced soul. So if someone would cut the line, the electricity could not flow any longer. So if you cut your line, it doesn't flow, it doesn't come. But let us not give this a sad note. Why should we cut the line? I think no one of us will do this and want to do it. Good. So I will end here, because I have this regulative principle to make these short. We will just sing a brief Hare Krishna mantra, and then I'm saying this to the internet devotees, because sometimes they don't have so much time. We'll just chant for 5 to 10 minutes. So. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama.
Ah Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Ich wünsche euch ganz viel, sagen wir mal, ganz viel, ja, von diesem Erleben. Dieses Thema der spirituellen Ermächtigung, wo plötzlich etwas in einen hineinkommt, was vorher nicht da war und was einen bewegt, ist wirklich ein, ich will mal sagen, ein Thema, was mich im Augenblick ganz persönlich sehr beschäftigt. Ich sehe einfach in meinem Service bei der Zusammenstellung dieses vedischen Weges oder wahrscheinlich auch Bhakti-Weges, nenne ich es, weil ich doch sehr viel Bhakti da rein getan habe. Ich sehe einfach, dass das etwas ist, was meine Kapazität bei Weitem übersteigt. Und es gibt jetzt zwei Möglichkeiten für mich. Das Projekt, an dem ich arbeite, seit 15 Jahren einfach niederzuwerfen, also niederzulegen. Und der andere Weg ist einfach, mich zu fragen, ob es eine andere Herangehensweise gibt. Und ich habe einfach selber gesehen, dass ja, ich bin einfach ein Mitglied, der meine, sagen wir mal, sehr geprägt bin durch meine Erziehung und überhaupt durch das ganze westliche Denken und sehr viel. Also das dauert lange, bis ich wirklich an dem Punkt bin und sage, ich kann es nicht alleine lösen. Bitte Krishna, wenn du das Projekt als etwas Sinnvolles ansiehst, dann bitte sei so gut, das zu übernehmen und statt meiner zu lösen. Das ist ein Punkt, wo ich selber nicht so gerne anscheinend hinkomme. Oder es ist ein Punkt, bevor ich zu diesem Punkt komme und wirklich die Hände in die Luft werfe und sage, ich surrendere, ich gebe mich jetzt total hin, versuche ich alles andere, was in meinen Kräften liegt, was in meiner Intelligenz liegt. Und hier bei dem Bhakti-Weg ist es wirklich so, dass ich immer wieder dahin geführt werde, eigentlich recht schnell, dass ich das einfach übergeben muss. Und ich merke einfach, dass da gibt es natürlich keine Formel. Also tu das, dann kommt sofort eine Antwort, ja, ich habe dich gehört und ich bin jetzt da und übernehme alles. Wie in dieser Fernsehsendung, wo so Polizisten versuchten, Fälle zu lösen und dann riefen sie irgendeinem Spezialagenten an und sagten, Cobra, übernehmen Sie. Vielleicht habt ihr das in eurer Jugend gesehen. Nicht? Es ist nicht so, dass wir so sagen können, okay, ich hab's nicht alleine, jetzt Krishna übernehmen, bitte du. Nicht? Aber Krishna ist nicht verfügbar für uns Menschen auf diese Art und Weise. Aber was ich wirklich sehe, wenn man aufrecht dahin kommt und einfach betet, dann sind ganz viele Dinge möglich. Und ich sehe das in meinem täglichen Leben. Also dieses, was da in der Geschichte geschah, dass also Kinder nicht mehr aßen und tanzten und Bäume ausrissen. Also es waren wirklich diese Phänomene, die da sichtbar waren. Das ist wirklich möglich, aber nicht eben durch die eigene Kraft. Es kommt eine andere Kraft. Da schraubt man eine Jetturbine auf ein Fahrrad. Das ist tatsächlich, worum es da geht. Also die göttliche Kraft ist natürlich viel mehr als eine Jetturbine, ist klar. Ich sage es jetzt nur mal so salopp in moderner Sprache. Aber die göttliche Kraft bewegt plötzlich ein Individuum. Und ich weiß, dass Prabhupada darüber oft sprach und dass das eben in seiner Zeit geschah. Und ich sehe, dass das auch heutzutage wirklich geschieht in unserer Bewegung. Es gibt die Vodis zum Beispiel, die verteilen noch immer am Tag 1000 Bücher, jeden Tag. Das gibt es solche. Die Vodis in Indien ist eine ganz kleine zittrige Matati, die sagt, es bin einfach nicht ich, der da handelt. Der ist es klar. Ja, ganz herzlichen Dank für eure geschätzte Aufmerksamkeit. Und wenn ihr euch vielleicht eines so als mein Geschenk an euch oder mein Tipp an euch mitnehmen möchtet, was Prabhupada da sagte, das ist nicht Prabhupada, Narahari Sakatakur sagte, Bhakti ist im Besitz eines jeden, aber wir können das erst dann richtig benutzen oder wir haben nur Zugang dazu, wenn wir eben bemüht sind, Bhakti einem anderen zu geben. Das möchte ich mal in der modernen Sprache sagen. Wir haben alle ein Tresor in uns, aber wir brauchen den Zugangscode dazu. Nicht? Und der Zugangscode, um die Bhakti im eigenen Herzen zu erschließen, ist wirklich, anderen Bhakti zu geben. Und das versuchen wir morgen. Morgen haben wir ein für das Spirit-Netzwerk, was Kanu Priya jetzt so nice managed, ein sehr wichtiges Event. Wir fangen um 11 Uhr an mit einem Ganztagesworkshop, auch Bogadatta zwei Präsentationen geben wird. Mangala gibt eine Präsentation und auch ich werde eine Präsentation geben. Und wir haben sehr, sehr vielversprechende Anmeldungen. Also Menschen, die, glaube ich, das sehr ernst nehmen werden, was sie morgen hören werden. Ich bin sehr gespannt. Bitte wünscht dieser Veranstaltung alles Gute. Ja, ich wünsche euch alles Gute und vielleicht fangt ihr heute an, den ersten Neuruppiner, den ihr auf dem Weg seht.
Vielleicht sollte man ein bisschen vorsichtig sein.
Alles Gute, kommt gut nach Hause und danke für eure Teilnahme. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.